And we'll put a Bible in your hand, and kids are dismissed. All right, the junior high are dismissed this morning. If you need a Bible, raise your hand up. We'll get it to you. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 this morning. Jesus speaking, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Lord Jesus, as we look at the rest that you offer us and the rest that we find in you, may everyone in this room here have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church and what the Holy Spirit is saying to them. Lord, there's some desperately weary people in this room. There are those who are bearing burdens you never ever created or designed or meant and intended for them to carry. So Lord, may they hear. Lord, may they have hope and may they come to Jesus. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. When Jesus uttered this, "Come to me, all who are weary, heavy laden," he's really right in the full stride and in the full strength of his ministry. He has successfully resisted the temptations of the devil. He's taught the crowds with authority, and he's exercised power over sin and sickness and wind and waves and demons and death. And he has shown himself. There's been a commanding performance of who he is and what he can do. And so these people that he's talking to, it's not like they've never heard of Jesus before. It's not like they've never seen what he can do. These people here, at least some of them, if not most of them, have been eyewitnesses to his power and to his glory. And no doubt they would say among themselves, when Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden," they would say, "Well, good grief. If he can overcome sin and sickness and wind and waves and demons and death, if he can do that, just think what he can do for me. If he can do those things, surely he can bring my soul into rest. I'm making my way to Jesus," they would say. And may it be the heart of every person in this room to make your way to Jesus. I don't care if you've been saved for 50 years. You need to constantly be making your way to Jesus and coming to Jesus and having the rest that there is in Jesus. The first thing to note here in our text is that Jesus calls out to the weary, all who are weary and heavy laden. The word weary means to work until you're exhausted and losing heart. To work until you're exhausted, you're losing heart, and you're losing hope because nothing ever comes of your work. Jesus was on the shore. He saw Peter and some of his friends out there in the boat, and they'd been working all night, caught no fish. And Jesus said, "Well, cast your net on the other side of the boat." And I don't know if it says it or not, but maybe Peter rolled his eyes like, "Oh, good grief," you know. And he said to Jesus, he said, "We've been working all night and we have caught nothing. We've been toiling until we're weary," because it's the same word that's in our text in Matthew 11:28. "We've been toiling until we're weary, and we have caught nothing." And it means this: we're worn out, we've caught nothing, nothing ever changes, we never ever get ahead. And Jesus, really, we're just bringing all the nets in right now, we're lowering the masts, we're rowing in, we're ready to call it quits because we're so discouraged and we're so despairing. You know, and that describes so many people, even in this room. You know, you work so hard at your marriage, and you work so hard at your career, you work so hard at your family, you work so hard at your religion, you work so hard at your self-image, but you just seems like you can't get ahead, you can't get away, you can't get a break. And in our area, you can't buy a home, you can't keep a friend, you can't kick this habit, you can't lose this weight. Can I get... am I preaching yet? Okay, I got two out of three of those right there, so I'm preaching to you. Well, listen, Jesus is calling you to find your rest in him. Boy, did you know? Now, and maybe you can tell me if this isn't true. I read that if you make less than $70,000 in the Bay Area, you're below the poverty line. I told some pastor friends that, and they just laughed at me. I said, well, that's true. Did you read that? Anybody read that? All right, there's one. By the mouth of one or more witnesses. Two or more, so we got it. All right. So it's truth. The word heavy laden means those who are trying to carry out expectations that others put upon them. And this isn't, when Jesus said this, no doubt, it's in a religious, spiritual context, you know, with the Pharisees telling the people, here's how you please God, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. You have to wash your hands the right way, and you have to not walk more than 3/5 of a mile on the Sabbath, or whatever it was. And you have to do all these things, and if you blow it once, you displease God. And the people were bearing this heavy religious, this heavy spiritual yoke that they could never please God with. But I think that so much, it just doesn't have to do with the religious context. It's not limited to a religious context, because your spouses, your bosses, your parents, your teachers, your friends, your government, even your pastors can put a burden on you and expect things from you that Jesus doesn't expect from you. And they can put burdens on you that Jesus never intended you to bear. You know, just look at society. Society expects me to look a certain way in terms of weight. I'm not there yet. In terms of body type, I'll never be there. In terms of clothes, I don't know. Every Saturday night, I take my outfit out to Fran and say, can I wear this tomorrow? And she'll say yes, no, or change this or change that. Should I tuck it in or keep it untucked? Well, I think you can. And so I'm trying to, you know, meet the societal norm. But can you imagine, and this is more for women and girls than it is for men, for a young woman to look in the mirror and according to society, she's overweight. According to us society, she's ugly. According to society, she's not attractive. And boy, how that just eats at her soul. Because society expects so much of her. Now, guys, we put on weight, and like Robert said before, you know, we look in the mirror and go, yeah, I'm still pretty good, you know. Maybe need to go up to the next size shirt so it doesn't show so much. But, you know, for young women, body type and look and fashion, and there's a yoke that society puts on you that Jesus never intended you to bear. And that's wearing you out, and you're losing hope, and it's just draining you, and you're despairing. You know, culture expects me to think and to act a certain way. Home expects me to be perfect. School expects me to be cool. Work expects me to be driven. Church expects me to be joyful and exuberant regardless of how I feel. I expect more of me. And I'm so disappointed in me when I don't fulfill everything that I should fulfill. I'm tired of working so hard and getting nowhere. And there's a heaviness in my heart. And Jesus calls out to the weary and to the heavy laden, come to me. All of those who are so tired that you're losing heart, all of you who are carrying a burden that God never intended you to carry, Jesus calls out to you this morning. And he says, come to me. Not only does Jesus call out to the weary, he calls out to all the weary and all the heavy laden. Come to me, all who are weary. Come to me, all who are heavy laden. Now, there might be a kid in this crowd right here who, you know, village life in Galilee, in Judea, everybody kind of knew what everybody was up to. The walls are thin. You know, you didn't have security cameras, but, you know, you lived outside. You didn't, you know, I go home. I can go home at 5 o'clock, and I can live inside my house the rest of the day. I could get up on a Saturday, and if we don't have any grandkids there, I could live in my four walls that whole day and have no need to go outside. But there, they lived outside. Everybody Everybody knew everybody's business back then. And this little kid could look, boy, Jesus said, all who are weary to come to him. You know, I know that person right there, and he's sexually impure. And that guy over there, he's a thief. And I know that person over there is a hater of God. And those two ladies back there, they're prostitutes. That's who they are. And I have a good sneaking suspicion, and so do a lot of my friends, that that fellow over there is a murderer. And everybody knows that he's an addict and he's an alcoholic. We know that that guy beats his wife. We know that this person has been sexually molested. And we know that there's two orphan kids over here. Jesus is talking to all of these people. He looks around. He sees the diseased. He sees the demonized. He sees those that are on the brink of death. And this kid might think to himself, does Jesus really know who he's talking to? This is a tough crowd. Everybody's broken. Is Jesus making a promise he cannot keep? Is he casting this net too wide? This boy might think to himself. But maybe that's just exactly the point. It doesn't matter who was in the crowd. It didn't matter how deep their weariness. It didn't matter how long it had held them in its grip. It didn't matter how completely it had drained them. It didn't matter how life had wrung them out or how far life had spit them out. It didn't matter how guilty, sinful, perverted, and unclean they were, because Jesus has already demonstrated his power over sin and sickness, wind and waves, demons and death. I mean, there's nothing in that crowd that Jesus can't minister to. There's no one in that crowd there that Jesus can't take their burdens from them and give them rest. And so he could say to all of you, except those of you who have done that thing for 10,000 times, forget it. You know, that's the cutoff right there. Don't come to me. But all who are weary, doesn't matter how many times you've done this or done that, Jesus says to you and to me, he says to come to me. He can take the sickest, he can take the foulest, he can take the hopeless, and he can triumph over it. So Jesus cries out to the weary to come to him, and he cries out to all the weary to come to him. And so to the diseased, to the disabled, to the indebted, to the divorced, to the doubting, to the despairing, to the depressed, to the victim and to the victimizer. Not only the one that was sinned against, but the one who sins against other people. Jesus says what? Come to me and I'll give you rest. Not only will I give you rest if you're the victim, I'll give you rest if you're the victimizer. Doesn't matter how many people you've hurt in your life, how many people you've taken advantage of, how many men, how many women you've violated. It doesn't matter how many abortions you've had. It doesn't matter how many times you've visited that porn site. Jesus says to you, come to me. It doesn't matter how many times you've been married and divorced and married and divorced and married. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. See, the thing is this, is that Jesus is calling to you. Because even though you might not understand it or realize it, you're in that crowd. You're hearing his voice this morning. And as he cries out to these in Galilee and Judea, that voice rings out 2,000 years, and the Holy Spirit takes that same message and he's pulling on your heart and on your conscience and on your soul. And he's saying to everyone here, Christian, non-Christian alike, come to me. I want to know you. I want to love you. I want you to have your rest in me. He knows your sins, your temptations, your compromises, your rationalizations. He knows your regrets and your shame. He knows your weakness and your brokenness. But he still says to you, come to me. Because he loves you and he wants to know you and he wants to have that relationship with you. Jesus says, come to me here. He doesn't direct the people to the social agencies, the medical facilities, the shopping malls, the therapeutic community. He doesn't direct the people to the Yellow Pages or to Google, where you can probably get everything but rest, right? He doesn't send you to the universities, the technical colleges, the banks, to Washington, to Hollywood, to your spouses, to your family. He says, come to who? Come to me. And I'll give you rest. If you're looking for your wife or your husband to give you rest, you're putting a burden upon, you're putting a yoke on them that God never intended them to bear. And you wonder why your marriage is struggling, why your marriage is failing, and why you're so ticked off at your husband, why you're so ticked off at your wife. You put so much on them. Jesus never wanted you to put your stuff on her. Jesus never wanted you to put your stuff on him. Jesus wants you to put your stuff on who? On him. Come to me. God didn't say come to Fran, Tim, you know, when you're, you know, you're weary and heavy laden. He says come to me. Fran can't take my weariness. She can't take my burdens. And I can't take hers. And when spouses look to one another like that, you know what that's called? It's called idolatry. Because I'm looking to someone else for only what God can give to me. See, the damage you now bear, it may have happened in those places, in your family, at Hollywood, in Washington, in the colleges, in your upbringing. The damage might have happened there, and the wounds you sustain now may have deepened there. But the healing you seek, the healing you need, it can't be found there. It's only found in Jesus. That's why Jesus says, go to school, get a job. No, he doesn't say that. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Jesus doesn't call you to a theology. He doesn't call you to a philosophy. He doesn't call you to a church. He doesn't call you to religion. Jesus says what? Come to me. So the question is, will you come to Jesus? See, who started the Jesus movement? Well, that was Chuck Smith in 1968. Listen, who started the Jesus movement? Jesus started the Jesus movement. It's been going on for about 2,000 years, and we're just moving to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's the cry of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit was sent out to glorify Jesus Christ, to disclose the things of Christ to the church. And the Holy Spirit is wooing and winning not only non-Christians to Jesus. Look how beautiful Jesus is. Look how he can forgive your sins. He's also wooing the church to Jesus constantly. I think a husband should always be wooing his bride. A husband should always be making himself attractive to his wife and vice versa. Always, you know, rekindling the love. And Jesus says to the church, come to me. Jesus offers rest in our passage. He offers rest to all the weary. Now, someone might say, well, the reason I can't rest right now is the weight of this thing is crushing me. The power of this thing is strangling me. The pressure of this thing is wrapping up my mind. And I can't get rest until this stranglehold and this weight and this pressure is lifted. I know some of you are either looking for a place to rent, which is horrific, especially in the East Bay. And if you're trying to buy, it's like, oh, you know, wow. Just I can't imagine if Fran and I now had to go rent a place. Boy, like, talk about pressure. Talk about weight. Talk about a stranglehold. Can Jesus take that? I'd have to give it to him. But some of you are dealing with that right now. Jesus has come to me, and you'll have rest. See, Jesus doesn't take the things in your life. He takes the weight and the power and the pressure of the things in your life. I cannot imagine being a single parent. Boy, it's tough with two parents, you know. Or it's tough with a friend helping me, or I should say I helped her, you know, raise the kids growing up and now the grandkids. I cannot imagine being a single mom, the pressure and the weight and the stranglehold and all the challenges and the concerns wrapped up in that. But Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. But again, Jesus doesn't take the things in your life. He takes the weight, the power, and the pressure of your things. When you come to Jesus and find rest, he's not going to take your kids from you, right? But Jesus are the ones that are causing the problem. Jesus doesn't take, you know, Jesus doesn't take your kids away. And if you're in debt, he doesn't put money in your bank account. And if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he doesn't take you out of that. He walks with you and he comforts you. And he doesn't pluck you out of the storm. He calms the wind and he calms the waves. Jesus doesn't take your things, but he takes the weight and the power and the pressure of those things. Rest isn't the absence of your problems and your challenges. Rest is the presence of Jesus. And you're trying to get out of debt, you're trying to get out of disease, you're trying to get out of addiction. Some of you, you're trying to get out of your marriage. You're trying to get out of your job. You're trying to get out of the Bay Area. You're trying to get out of California. And you think you're going to find rest in Kentucky. The bluegrass of Kentucky. I saw Daniel Boone, and he was so peaceful once there. And I know that I'll have peace there. And those guys on Petticoat Junction, they're pretty cool. So I think I need to make my way to Kentucky, or at least Tennessee, you know. There's not peace anywhere in those things. Rest isn't the absence of your wife, your husband, your kids, California. Rest is the presence of Jesus. Because you know what? You can get rid of all your debt. You can marry a new wife. You could move to Kentucky. And you know what? You're still a goofball. You're still not going to find rest because you're not finding it in Jesus. Because listen, your new wife and your unindebtedness, if that's the right word, and Kentucky, they're all going to grow old pretty quick, I would think, you know. And if you don't find rest in Jesus, you're going to be weary and heavy laden in Kentucky. You're going to be back to square one, you know. And so come to Jesus. Now, just eliminate all your problems now and come to Jesus and find rest in Jesus. Amen. Your soul is not going to find rest in success, in affirmation, in confidence. It's not going to find rest in pleasure. It's not going to find rest in moving to a new neighborhood. It's not going to find rest in winning the lotto. Jesus doesn't offer any of those things to the weary and the heavy laden. Jesus offers who? Himself. Jesus is offering you Him, because Christianity is Christ. It's nothing else but Christ. Christianity is so incredibly simple. It's one thing. It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. So when Jesus says, come to Him, we can understand Him saying, come to Jesus crucified. Come to Jesus risen and ascended. Come to Jesus exalted and reigning. Because you're not going to find rest in wealth, in fame, in success, in achievement. You're going to find rest in Jesus. Probably one of the most ill-advised things I ever did was maybe 25, 30 years ago. I hiked from the north rim of the Grand Canyon down to Angel Camp. Is that Angel Camp? Bright Angel Camp. Phantom Ranch at the bottom. And then back up the south rim. I meant, because it's 14 miles from the 9,000-foot north rim down to the 2,500-foot at the bottom of the Grand Canyon at Phantom Ranch. 14 miles down, 14 miles back. And that was to be my route. On the first day, I was to hike 7 miles from the north rim down to Cottonwood Camp, which is halfway between the north rim and the bottom. I was supposed to stop there. But I thought, I feel so good. And this canyon is so beautiful. I just like a fool, I just kept going. And a couple hours later, I found myself under a rock. It was literally 120 in the shade. And that's just not like I walked through 5 foot through snow, you know, 5 miles through snow on my way to school every day. This is true. This isn't preacher hyperbole right now, okay? I'm telling the truth. Then I'll get back to preaching. But right now, I tell the truth. It was 120. And a few miles past Cottonwood, I thought, I'm going to die. You know, people die every year in the Grand Canyon because they make stupid mistakes like I did. And I thought, I'm not going to make. I crawled under a rock. And I was worried about rattlesnakes, but I thought, I'd rather be bitten by the snake than burned up by the sun. So I crawled under a rock. And I thought, I could just curl up and die here. I mean, I was so dispirited. I was so in despair. And I thought, well, you know what? The only reason why, it's not the only reason, but I thought, what went through my mind at that time was, my son Benjamin needs me. I can't die. Benjamin needs me. So I walked the rest of the way down to Phantom Ranch. I had 14 blisters on my feet. And that's downhill. And I had to walk 14 miles again uphill. I thought, I'm dead. It's just not going to happen for me. And I'm just wiped out. I'm despairing. I'm going, what am I going to do? And then I saw a donkey. And this donkey had a load on its back. And I thought, wow, maybe I can hire a donkey to take my, not me, but hire a donkey to take my backpack out. So I went and made inquiries, and indeed I could. And so I took everything out of my backpack, except maybe a couple Lunchables or whatever it was, and my canteen, and I put all that weight on the donkey. And that donkey was able to carry my stuff up 9 miles to the South Rim. And I just remembered just the tremendous peace that I had when I knew that there was someone or something that could take my burdens and carry it for me. I read that after a fight, a bat's heartbeat can go from 180 beats per minute to 3 beats per minute almost instantaneously. Fight's over. From 180 beats to 3 beats per minute. A bat can go from 100, let me get my stats right here, from 8 breaths, now this is a bat, 8 breaths per second. How is that possible? maybe a dog could do that, but I think a bat pants, faster than a dog. 8 breaths per second, to one every 8 minutes. One breath every 8 minutes. You might be saying, well, Pastor Tim, that's not rest, that's comatose. Come to me, Jesus says, and I'll put you in a coma. No, that's not it. But, that's rest. That's rest. And I realized, when that donkey could take my stuff, boy, my heart rate, and my mind, I was at such great peace. My anxiety, it disappeared. Now, I still had to walk through the canyon. I still had to walk 9 miles uphill to get out of the canyon. But I didn't have my weight. And you still got to walk through life. But Jesus will bear the weight. Come unto me, Jesus says, and I'll give you rest. I'll take the weariness. I'll take the hopelessness. I'll take the despair. I'll take the burdens, and I'll carry them for you. So our text goes on to tell us that Jesus offers rest to all the weary who come to him. The word come in our passage here, it's present tense, which means come now. It doesn't mean come tomorrow. It doesn't mean come next Sunday. It doesn't mean come when the mood strikes you. It means come right now. And it means come to Jesus, which means go past your pills, go past your drugs, go past your alcohol, go past your porn, go past your money, go past your family, go past your success, go past your dreams and your visions, and come to Jesus. And come to Jesus without merit, come without money, come without excuses, come without delay. Jesus is calling the crowd, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you're a non-Christian, you would say, well, I've never confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. Come to Jesus and be saved, and you'll find rest for your soul. Because Jesus has borne the weight of your guilt and your shame on the cross. That's the gospel. And he invites you into the forgiveness that he wants to offer you. And if you're a Christian, hey, listen, we know that it's easy to stray. And it's easy to take on burdens that Jesus never meant for you to bear. And so Jesus just isn't saying to the first-time listener, come to me, all who are weary. He's saying to all of those who know him, who've known him for one day, who've known him for 50 years, come and rest in me. Well, what we've looked at so far is good. But now comes the really good stuff. Come to Jesus, the Bible tells us, the text tells us, and be given rest. But it gets even better than that. Get yoked to Jesus and find rest for your soul. Back to our text, Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's a rest that Jesus gives, and there's a rest that you find. The rest that Jesus gives, that's like the cure, if you would, to your burdens and to your despair and to your hopelessness. You come to him and you say, Jesus, I give it all to you, and he gives you his peace. But then there's the rest that you find in Jesus, and that's the prevention. That keeps your soul from accumulating the anxieties, the worries, the burdens, the weariness, the despair, the hopelessness. As you're just walking in Jesus and taking his yoke and partnering with him, and people want to put on you their stuff, and the worries and the cares of the day just want to infiltrate your soul, you can just slough them off because you're walking with Jesus and your soul doesn't accumulate those things. Come to me and learn from me, Jesus says. And what do we learn from Jesus? Well, we learn the heart of Jesus. And in learning the heart of Jesus, there's a prevention of the weights and the pressures. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. The word gentle means to be quiet. The word gentle is a quiet and friendly composure which does not become embittered or angry at what's unpleasant. Well, you need that on Highway 880, don't you? Jesus is so practical. The quiet and friendly composure which does not become embittered or angry at what's unpleasant. It's a leniency in your soul toward those who fail or disturb you. I don't rush to judgment. There's a leniency in my soul. I forgive them. I give them grace. We looked at Deuteronomy 19 Wednesday night, and the dominant portion of that passage talks about the cities of refuge, where if you accidentally killed a man, you could flee to the city of refuge, and the avenger of blood, their brother, their cousin, their nephew, their father, couldn't come after you and kill you. Once you reached the gate, once you reached the border of that city of refuge, you were safe and you couldn't be killed for the harm that you had caused. And we talked about how each of us, we're a city of refuge. We need to be people of grace. That the moment someone gets to know us, we have grace for them. The moment they come into our sphere of influence, we have grace for them. You don't have to prove yourself to me. You don't have to somehow work at getting me to love you, give grace to you, find mercy for you. It's an automatic thing. Once the manslayer, the one who had killed his friend without cause, passed the gate of the city, he was safe. And how all of God's people, we should be safe people. We should have grace for all of us. The cities of refuge were strategically located. The roads to them were easily maintained and very well maintained so that people could just go. And are you a person of grace? Are you a city of refuge? Is there a leniency in your soul? Do you have a composure which doesn't become embittered or angry at what's unpleasant? The Bible tells us and uses the same word in the Greek that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And it's interesting because in the text, the context there is that his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam, they rose up and they spoke against him because he had married a Cushite woman. Moses married a black woman. And his brother and his sister didn't like that. And they opposed him and they challenged his leadership. But we're told that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And he had a composure. He had a quiet and friendly composure which didn't become angry and embittered at that which was unpleasant. He didn't rise up and take a sword and cut their heads off. He just cried out to God, God help me. God help me. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that the man of God must be gentle. The man of God must be weak. And again, the context there is men in the church who are coming against Timothy and challenging his leadership, undermining his influence, and questioning his pastoral role in the church. And Paul says to Timothy, don't get all riled up when people challenge you, when people come against you. Just seek the Lord. You don't have to get riled up when you know that the Lord has your back. Moses knew that God had his back. Timothy, hey, listen, God has your back. And you can get all anxious and all fretful, and you can carry all of these burdens, and you can begin to despair and hate people and judge them in your heart. And Paul says, you don't need to do that if you learn the heart of Jesus. I don't need to accumulate these things. They can just be sloughed off as I'm partnering with Jesus, as I'm kept in the steps of Jesus Christ. The word humble means the opposite of power and influence. In one of the descriptions, the word humble is used of a lowered lance rather than a raised lance. If I have a raised lance and you want to get close to me, you're not going to get too close. But if it's lowered, you have access. And boy, just to be humble before one another, not bristle. Do you know what he said? Do you know what she said? Who do you think you are to come in here and do that? Well, you just rest in Jesus. And Jesus takes all of that stuff, all of the things that would accumulate in your home, in your work life, in church, in your neighborhood, just in your own soul. And Jesus says, if you walk with me, all that stuff won't. Your soul will be like Teflon. And all of the burdens, all the worries, all of the cares, all the anxieties, sloughed off right there. The rest you find in Jesus keeps you from needing to be a big shot, getting people to pay attention to you. You know, even if you get people to pay attention to you, there's no ultimate satisfaction in that. And when you try to get people to pay attention to you and they don't, you get all riled up. You get all offended. But the rest that Jesus gives to you, it's going to keep your soul from fear, from insecurity, and from the need to control the people around you, because the Lord's in control. And you can just rest in the Lord. I don't have to micromanage you. I don't have to, our vision here at the church is what? Find what Jesus wants you to do and do it. Just do what the Lord tells you to do. Don't ask me what you should do. Ask the Lord what he wants you to do, because he's got something for you to do. And it might be even talking to Josiah after the service here in a few minutes. The rest that Jesus gives is experienced by him removing a yoke. And the deeper rest, the rest you find, is connected to you taking a yoke and a burden. So it's kind of counterintuitive. He says, come to me, let me take your burdens. But I've got another, I'm going to put another yoke on you. Let me take the yoke of others off you, others that are trying to control you. You don't need to fulfill their visions for your life. How many times have we heard God loves you and I have a wonderful vision, a wonderful plan for your life? You don't need to fulfill anybody else's plans but my plan for your life. Let me take all of that off. You're going to find rest. And we do. Then Jesus says, come here. I've got another yoke for you. My yoke is easy, he says, and my burden is light. You know, a yoke is a device that's used to harness the strength and the energy of others. It's a way that for others to control you. And almost uniformly in the Bible, it's used in a negative way. But here, it's used in a very positive way. Through his word, you are yoked to Jesus. And through your obedience, you learn of Jesus Christ. So be yoked with Jesus. Be kept in the steps, held in the steps of Jesus. And as you walk with Jesus, as you obey Jesus, you'll learn his gentleness and you'll learn his humility. When you come to Jesus, he'll give you rest. And when you learn of Jesus, you'll find rest for your soul. There's a second rest. There's a deeper rest that he brings us into. There's coming to him, and then there's a walking with him. Now, can you learn karate by reading a book on karate? No, you might think you're, all of that, but you'll probably get whooped by a little 7-year-old white belt guy, You can't learn karate by reading a book on karate. Where do you learn karate? Down on the mat with a sensei who's kicking the snot out of you, right? That's where you learn the thing. And can you learn the heart of Jesus by just reading the Bible? No. You should read the Bible, obviously. But you have to walk in the obedience to Jesus to learn his heart. You can know what his heart is intellectually, but the only way to download that into your own being, into your own soul, is to walk with Jesus in his yoke, being held to his steps. So the question for you is, will you come to Jesus? Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. If you don't know Jesus, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And you can be saved this morning by confessing that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from your death, from the dead, and your guilt, your shame, your sin, it's gone. If you know Jesus this morning, but you haven't been walking close with him, well, you know that your heart can get burdened down with stuff. Jesus this morning is saying to you, come to Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, may there be a Jesus movement every Sunday in all of the churches, Lord, especially in Calvary Fremont. May we be constantly coming to Jesus to be given rest and then walking with Jesus to find rest every day as the worries of the day, as the weights of the week, as the concerns of family and the anxiety about work and money, Lord, as these things just constantly are being placed upon our shoulders, that, Lord, they would just be given to you. Lord, we have to walk through this stuff, but Jesus, you said you'd bear the burden. And we trust you for that, Lord. We trust you for that, Lord. Lord, may every heart, may every soul in this room come to Jesus this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.